Shall we pray?
Holy Spirit, calls us to see and to hear. Take what belongs to the Father and the Son and write it in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. At the outset of his sermon last week, Joel told us that after about 2 minutes we might well have forgotten what he'd said previously. And he went on to suggest other things like using visual aids and things like that in teaching in order to help us, things to act as aid memoirs. I think it's important, first of all, to acknowledge it, that it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to hear and receive God's word, which is why I began that way with that prayer this morning. So often it is the case that whatever the preacher says, actually it's what the Holy Spirit is saying to someone throughout their life that actually is awakened in their heart and their mind. Here in Romans 10, Paul is speaking about the different aspects of the message of faith. But before that, we need to acknowledge the context. And it can be easy for us to dive into the text, oblivious of what went on before. And so most of us need reminding, even if it's just a gentle reminder. Because if we're unaware of the context, it might be like coming on in the middle of a conversation that a friend has been having. And that happened only yesterday. Rosie was talking, I think, with her uncle and aunt, and they were talking about donuts. Now, I knew what they were talking about, and I butted in and said, "Oh, lovely donuts." And they were talking about those things you sit on. The context was entirely different. But it's a bit like that sometimes, I think, with the Bible. We read a little bit of it without fully understanding the context. We remember that Paul was zealous for God. And these verses come in the middle of some very difficult words in chapters 9 to 11, which express Paul's overriding concern to figure out what is going to happen to God's chosen people, Israel, now they have rejected God's promised Messiah. In fact, they're still looking for Messiah to come. I was watching a little film in the week about the situation in Israel at the end of the First World War, and a British commander comes riding in on a horse, and one of the survivors from all those years, I probably filmed some years ago now, said, "We thought it was Messiah coming." That was their hope for our land, for Israel, you know, over 100 years ago. Paul is concerned that the Jews have rejected God's promised Messiah. And let's not forget that Paul's encounter with Jesus hasn't erased his passion or his purpose, nor will it have taken away his relationship to his colleagues and friends, even though they may well have rejected him. Now that he knows his fellow Jews, what they've done is the unthinkable. They've rejected God's Christ, killing God's Christ, or at least approving of his murder, and now likewise approving of anyone in the Roman Empire who persecuted and imprisoned and murdered the followers of Jesus, just as he had been until Jesus interrupted him. I wonder if there's a prayer for us here about being interrupted. Do we need to be interrupted by Christ where we persist in pagan unbelief? You might say, "Is that really us?" Do you know, from time to time I've heard said things like, "Touch wood." While there are several insalubrious associations with this saying, it's usually said in relation to a hope for something to come to avoid bad luck. It derives from the pagan belief that malevolent spirits inhabited wood, and if you were expressing a hope for the future, you should touch the wood or knock on it to prevent the spirits from hearing and presumably preventing your hopes and dreams coming true. Many pagan sayings which are associated with Wicca trip off our tongues as if they were of no consequence. And my prayer for you is that you'll be interrupted when you find yourself using them and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and affirm your trust in him. Those who are in Christ have a glorious hope of sins forgiven, of fullness of life now, and of new creation. Verse 9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Greek word for Lord is kurios. No Jew would publicly confess Jesus Christ as kurios, who had not really trusted Christ. No Gentile would confess Jesus Christ as kurios, who had not ceased worshipping the emperor who was kurios. The word kurios was and is the cornerstone of Christian faith. To confess Jesus Christ as Lord was acknowledging Jesus Christ was uniquely superior to anyone else. The confession was a public declaration of belief in the martyred and resurrected Jesus Christ. Confession from the heart is the heart of receiving the gospel for salvation. To paraphrase Paul's opening verses to this chapter, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of St. James to be saved. I know what enthusiasm you have for God, but it can be misdirected zeal. For some of you still don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, you cling to your own way of getting right with God by trying to do good. Do the right things. Be nice people. But Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. So let your pagan ways go. You're wasting your time. The answer to Paul's concern is in part to keep trying. We don't give up either on God's covenant people or anyone for that matter on account of their unbelief. We keep preaching, keep reaching out, and keep proclaiming the word of the gospel. And this is most important for us to understand. We may not feel that we're evangelists, but we're all charged with the responsibility of giving an account of the hope that is in us. I was reminded about those refugees crossing the Mediterranean. A boat ride doesn't guarantee a safe passage to Europe. In the same way, the acts of care and compassion without the message of the gospel in words will not bring salvation. Even if those we help persist in unbelief, at the very least they can never justifiably say it wasn't because they were never exposed to the message of the gospel. They can believe in their hearts and confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord or not. But never let it be said that we have not given the opportunity possible for our neighbours to consider the way of life. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? How can they ever hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will they ever go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. There's some beautiful feet in St. James who go knocking on doors every week with a message to bring. They have beautiful feet. We should bring them up the front and get them to take their socks and shoes off so that we can have a look. I used to think this text was about being an overseas missionary. And from an early age, that was all I wanted to do. My great uncle was a pioneer missionary to Japan. My mother's best friend was a missionary in Thailand. And having watched Gates of Splendor, I wanted the preacher to point to me and say, "Peter, God is calling you." The truth is that in Christ we are all being sent as disciples of Jesus. Disciples do what Jesus did. If we don't, I'm not sure we can really call ourselves disciples. By the grace of God, we're being transformed. Just as in the task of preaching, the Holy Spirit is at work bringing about God's purposes. On several occasions, I've heard individuals quoting back to me the things I never said. Have not heard my voice, but have been recipients of the Holy Spirit, bringing about the God's purpose for his word, for which he sent it to them. So be encouraged. However faltering you may feel about expressing the hope that is within you, when you do, God will enliven his word to the heart that has been softened to receive it. But if you've never declared from your heart that Jesus is Lord, then maybe today you'd like to do that, to confess Jesus as Lord and participate in God's restoration and renewal of your life. Perhaps you've got into the routine of coming on Sunday, but you've lost living out your faith in between Sundays. Perhaps today is the day to reclaim an active faith in God. In a moment, I'll invite you to all stand with me and declare Jesus is Lord. If you're confessing it from your heart today for the first time, please speak to me after the service. Or if you're reclaiming the faith you had lost, share that with me too, and tell someone else. At the end of this prayer, I'm going to end with, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And then we'll say together, "Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen." And our Father will know where that declaration is coming from.